The computer's not really ready yet, but let's start. We're in the middle of the Malbim. The Malbim is on page 897. On page 897, we have the Pasik, we're from the Malbim. Pasik, v'chunim of Zeus. Okay, let's start from Ki Eftach Lochem. Ki Eftach Lochem Esarubas Hashemayim V'arikos Lom Baruch Ad Lidai. It's going to page 897. We are in the Malbim, the very last line of the Malbim. The computer is not cooperating. Okay, here we go. So now we try to actually turn the page. L'malam Natera. Okay, over here now I'm on page 899. 899, the Baruch Hashem is going to give is going to be Hashem will pour out Baruch ad b'lidai l'malam Natera v'litia Baruch ad b'lidai ki birchas Hashemayim yesh l'gvul b'hechreach. The blessing of heaven has a limit. Sheba oisa. Good morning.
Open it, please.
Of course. Of course. Here, come out. Here. Come out. Here we go. Okay, so it says over here, the bracha here is lamala min hateva. V'ti habrocha ad b'lidai. It will be ki birchas Hashemayim yesh lo gvul behechrech shebevoyo ad gvul hahu yeomer dai. So that basically means is that the blessing of heaven, of nature, is a limit. There's a limit. Avol birchas Hashem shehi al pi neis ein lo gvul v'lo yeomer lo dai. Nature, at a certain point of time, comes to an end. There are only 12 hours in a day. When you reach 6 o'clock, that's it, the sun goes down. You can't, just like in nature, there are cycles and there are limitations. Likewise, in the ability of what the blessing that the world can provide, there are limitations. But when something is l'malam derech hateva, that has no limitations at all. The blessing of Hashem is unlimited. Okay, let me just so that I can get this computer going. If someone's going to come online, if we have anyone. It's unlimited. Now here he's going back what is the difference they said before between the word of a nisayon and a bechina. A nisayon, he gave us before one example of what these words mean, but now he seems to be saying over here an entirely different idea. Aval ein zeh nisayon rak bechina ki hu mi'oitzer Hashem shesham ein zeh l'mala mikaychai. This comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is unlimited. The fact that he promised there will be a blessing. Rishlokish said he heard a child that said that a person should give ma'aser so he should be rich. Omar lei, unishodev and asuri, are you allowed to test Hashem? Omar lei, kahai gavna, this type of test, shari l'ksir, uvuchunim nebezois, v'tzor lemar, shahyinuka heishav lo, sheze eina begeder nisayoin, sheosu l'nasois Hashem, ki hu b'chino, v'yala b'chino lo yuhuz haru. Okay, so I don't really understand this part of the
Ratmah. What's the difference between a b'chino and a
nisayon? So that we spoke about yesterday at great length, at least according to one interpretation.
Recording in progress.
Over here. Okay, sorry for the delay. The computer wasn't working. We already started the share a little bit. I'll just wait for the computer. We're on page 899. We're at the end of the album. Okay.
Can you read the Zechinishmas, Imi Marossi,
Hayyu
Bas Mordechai. What's her name? What are
you just
saying? Yeah, what's her name? What's her name?
Hayyu.
Hayyu?
Hayyu.
Hayyu Bas Mordechai. Okay, so we learn to Lezeche Lunishmas, the mother of Mordechai, of Mordechai Mintz. Her name is Hayyu Bas Mordechai. May her neshama have an aliyah. Okay, so yes. Say Kaddish also. Okay, very good, excellent. Okay, may her neshama have an aliyah. Rav Mordechai Binstock is also, he's also, so both of you, two people in the shir that are named after Hayyu Bas, the grandfather of Mordechai. Okay, may her neshama have an aliyah. Okay, we learned Rav Mordechai yesterday, we spent a lot of time discussing the difference between what the Malbim said in the beginning on the previous page, the difference between a Nisoyon and a Bechina. And what he said on the first page was that Nisoyon is when you're coming to make a test to establish if the thing exists. A Bechina is after you acknowledge that the object does indeed exist, you're coming to define the quality of that object. And the example the Malam gave was metal. If you want, you have in front of you what appears to be a precious metal, and you don't know, is this copper or is it gold? You don't know what it is. So when you do a test, when you send it to a laboratory to do, you do a nisoyon to establish what is this? Is this copper or is this gold? You do a nisoyon to establish what you are dealing with. After you've established, you know what you're dealing with, then you go to the next level, you do a bechina to know the quality of the gold. There are seven different types of gold. So you now want to do a bechina to determine which one of the seven golds. Likewise, it is forbidden, lo sinasues Hashem, it is forbidden to test, to challenge Hashem, say to Hashem, Hashem, do you exist? Prove to me that you exist. That is forbidden. The existence of Hashem is a matter of emunah. That's not for you to test. That's for you to believe. But what it is permitted in certain circumstances is to be boichein Hashem. And that is, I know that Hashem exists, but I want to understand the degree of the relationship that I have with Hashem. And that's also very dangerous. Even though the pasuk does, even though that's not a prohibition, at least not, it's not a pasuk, and the Torah over here does tell us you can, there are only limited situations where you are permitted to be boichein, to understand exactly the degree of your connection to Hashem. And that's what it says over here when it comes to giving meiser, uvichonuni no bezois. The pasuk allows you to test out, to do a bechina, to be boichein Hashem. I will give tzedakah, and let's see if you will pay me back. And Hashem says, do it, test me, give meiser, and test me. I will give you back not just what you've given, I'll give you back infinitely more, which Chazal interpret, ad sheyivlu sifsesechem miloymar dai. Now, going back over here to this part of the Malam, over here seems to be saying a different idea. He seems over here to be discussing a different idea, and where he says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, ad belidai, I'm going to give you something that's unlimited, he says, according to the Malam, I'm going to give you baracha that is lamalo miderech hateva. Why? What does it mean, lamalo miderech hateva? Because everything in nature is limited. Okay, when Hashem created the world was created with the name of Hashem called Shakai, Shin, Dalit, Yud. We have those letters on our tefillah. And those letters stand for Sh'omar le'olamoy dai. Hashem said to this world, enough. Now there are many dimensions as to what that means. What does Hashem said to the world, enough? One very common understanding is that when Hashem created the world was evolving. Let's now for the moment accept this principle of evolution. Okay, not the evolution of Darwin, not his version, but there is some concept of the world didn't just come into existence in a moment. The world developed. What does it mean? How long did it take to develop? So we have this discussion of all these modern scientists that want to reconcile science with Torah. We want to say that the day Maaseh Bereishis was the millions of years, billions of years. And then we discussed that's not necessarily such a great idea to go down that path. Don't try to limit Hashem. If the simple understanding is the day is 24 hours, it means the world evolved in 7 days. Like, why do you have to go down that path? Why do you have to limit Hashem? Learn the pasuk. Maybe it's right. We don't know. Maybe yeah, maybe not. You can say this, can say that. But one thing you have to be very careful. Don't hold Hashem hostage to your limited understanding of this world. Hashem is infinite. Hashem can do whatever he wants. If Hashem wants, Hashem can create the world in 7 days, in 6 days. If he wants, he can create the world in 1 day. And it says in Maaseh Bereishis, it took 7 days. Why is it necessary for you to go and give so much weight to the scientific, the secular world and say, oh, they're for sure right, science, carbon dating and this and that, and dinosaurs, and you go through all the museums and speak to all the scientists, and we have to bow down to them, and we have to bend and reconcile, figure out how the Torah can fit into their understanding and say ideas that the world each day took 5 billion years, 10 billion years. That's what it means a day. Listen, if that's what it is, gezunt to hate. But you don't have to mold yourself into this. Coming with the mindset that you have to bow before them, that's epikursus. Hashem is infinite, and trying to immediately humbling yourself to the science and to the knowledge of a secular world, that's not necessarily it's interesting. And if it's true, it's true. No one's saying it's not true. But the mindset that it has to be like this, that appears to be not correct. Don't limit Hashem to your limited understanding. Yeah.
That's the Gemara Yishayahu.
It's a expression about what Shamayim is from the Parasha. About what Shamayim is from Mabul.
Right. The windows of heaven. Right. The windows of heaven. Right. We had the right. The windows of heaven. And
but here is
Adli Dai. Adli, more. That's what the Malbim is saying. That's what the Malbim is saying. The Malbim is saying is a very profound idea. Because when the world was created, we saw the world was created with the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shin Dal Yud. Okay, so again, there are many interpretations of what that, there are many dimensions of interpretation as to what that word means. And the simplest, the very common, is that when the world was created, it developed. It was a process, and the process was continuing. And what happened after 6 days of Maaseh Bereishis? Hashem said, "Stop. Stop. What do you mean, stop? We're not yet finished. It's like you pass by on the street and you see a building under construction with green pieces of plywood surrounding the building, painted green with little windows, and you see posts, no bills. And your building over here, the skeleton of the building, is there for 25 years. What happened? Someone put down a few million dollars to build this building, and the money ran out somewhere along the line in the construction project, and just sitting here, the building, no one ever finished the construction. Or sometimes, you know, you go to these yeshivas, and the building is like 70% finished. And they never finish off the building. You go into from the outside looks very nice, you go inside, and you see the sheetrock and the screws, and they never finish plastering, and everything is very, like a skeleton. What happened? We ran out of money.
Building next to the Avodah Avenue, well, and no street.
Right, it's still like that?
It's been there forever.
Didn't Voretsky buy it? I think the Voretsky.
Yeah.
It used to be Yeshiva Katana. And never, that yeshiva, they closed down that yeshiva.
Was, I mean,
totally closed down. It was a yeshiva Katana.
Torah Semes was
right, for 20 years.
For the longest time. Right.
For 20 years, Torah Semes totally abandoned. They were going to knock down the whole thing, and then suddenly they finished it off. Well, 1, 2, 3.
Of course, they paid my grandfather the.
So this is my simchah yom. So the truth is, that's exactly what this world is. This world is it's an unfinished construction project. Sha'omar le'olamoy dai. This world, the people we traveling, on the Enterprise in Star Trek, and they come to Earth, people on the Enterprise, when they pass by Earth, to them, it's like there's a big fence around Earth of plywood painted green with little windows. Aruvas HaShemayim, post no bills. This world is an unfinished construction project. She'omar le'olamoy da. Why did Hashem stop the construction in the middle? And the answer is, when you finish a building, you put on the building, on the outside of the beautiful building, the name of the building. You have the new building, Ohel, right? So the big building, Ohel, on the outside of the building. Chaim Berlin, you see, Misifta, Yeshiva, Rabbi Chaim Berlin. You go to every place, every yeshiva, every shul, you see on the outside, you see a beautiful finished building, and the last thing they do on the building is they put the name of the institution. And they take pictures, and they send out brochures to collect more money. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I do not want my name on this world. I want the construction project to stop in the middle. It should be an eyesore. And when everyone looks at this world, what happened? This world is desolate. The world is a chorban. What happened to this world? Nothing makes any sense here. There are volcanoes or earthquakes. There's chaos in this world. Exactly. I want the world to stop short so that, man, people will have to make an investigation. Google it. They'll have to go online and type in Earth. Who owns Earth? How much did it cost? Who paid for this? What happened? How many fines and tickets did they get? People should inquire and study and discover the Baal Habira, the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is why She'omar Le'olam Adai, the world was developing at a pace where if the world would have continued to develop more, it would have been so obvious that this is Hashem's world. And if it's super duper obvious Hashem's world, there's no Bechira Chofshes. There is no free will. It's too obvious that there's a creator and you have to do what Hashem wants. That's not the purpose. The purpose is man has free will. If you want to do a mitzvah, do. If you don't want, do an avera, do. And you'll get reward and punishment at the end of time. So Hashem said, She'omar le'olamai dai. Adkan. Let man continue his quest to discover, to discover who is the Baal HaBir. That is one very popular interpretation of what the meaning of that the world was created with the letters Shaka. The Malbim over here is telling us a different idea, what appears to be telling us a new idea. And he's saying is Hashem built into creation limitations. Everything in this world, in the world of science, you're limited. Science is limited. There's only that much you can do. The day is only 12 hours. The sun rises and the sun sets. There's nothing you can do. I can't. I need more time, Hashem. I know. I just need one more hour to finish the project. Sorry, buddy. The sun rises, the sun sets, and that's it. You, whatever you want in this world, or first, how long are you going to live for? The body is made in a way where the body cannot last. It's not made to last more than a number of years. That's just the way it goes. In the best circumstances, a person is blessed. He never gets sick. He never has any issues his entire life. You walk down the street, you see what 100, you go look at what a 100-year-old person looks like, who has never been sick one day of his life, and all of his joints, everything is working perfectly. What does he look like? He looks like a 100-year-old man. He doesn't look like a 20-year-old. Okay, a 100-year-old man, the best he can expect is that everything in his body should be working. But you expect to run in the Olympics? You expect to lift weights and to play in baseball? What are you kidding? 100 years old? 100 years old. What do you expect? Everything in this world, the world of science, is limited. She'omar le'olamoy dai. Hashem said to the world, when he created the world, science has limitations. There's only that much you can do. What but lemala miderech hateva has no limitations. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu breaks the rules of nature and wants to do things in this world that are beyond our understanding, that is unlimited. So here when it says that if you give the Meiser, v'harikos ilchem brocha ad b'li dai, it's going to break the die barrier. Breaking the die barrier means I will give you blessing that is lamala miderech hateva, miderech nes. That's a chiddush. Because if not for the Malbim telling us this, that's not the way I understood this pasuk until now. When I used to learn this pasuk, it means, you know, there are people that are multimillionaires. There are people that are billionaires. It's al derech hateva. There are people out there in this world that have more money than they can imagine, they can ever use. They know what to do with. Is the money that they have, is it lemalam derech hateva? Not necessarily. If you work very hard and you know what you're doing, you know how to make money. And when you know how to make money, you know how to accumulate, and one thing leads to another. And of course, there's siyata d'shmaya. You're not going to make a big unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be successful and you have siyata d'shmaya. But when you talk to these people that are very, very wealthy, you're not there, but you're speaking to people that are very wealthy, mostly big Afri Carson, they'll tell you every penny that I earn is koichi v'oitzim yadu osli yisachai alazeh. And to a degree, they're right. To a degree, it's terror. So it's a person that's blessing brach ad b'lidah. I have in the bank $100 million. $100 million in my book is ad b'lidah. Okay, it's beyond. But is it lemala miderech hateva? So I would say no, it's not. If you work hard and you know what you're doing, you're smart and you're successful, and you have siyata d'shmaya, and you know how to maneuver, you'll accumulate an enormous amount of wealth ad b'lidah. Only one in a million succeed to such a degree, of course. But the Malbim says it's not what the pasuk means. There's a deeper interpretation of the pasuk. The word "dai" is a word that goes back to the Shem Hashem Sha'amar Le'olamai Dai. Dai is nature. Nature has limitations. $100 million is the amount of money that you can make al derech hateva. To go make whatever, every situation is different. I'm going to give you bracha that you cannot explain, that makes any sense according to the laws of nature. Your success will be defined as lemala miderech hateva. It's a very profound interpretation of the pasuk. That's not the standard interpretation. That is what he's saying.
And he means to say, Shaguli Amela die. The Birkat Hashem,
it's not part of nature.
We will not say die.
Right.
Because there is no die.
Right, right.
Birkat Hashem.
He's saying it's a code word. Die is a code word for teva, for nature. Right. And this is going to be Lamala Miderecha Teva. It's not subject to the rules of nature. Okay, then if you look, what? Shlo ye omer dai.
Believe, shlo ye omer.
Right, you're not going to say die because it's not subject to die. Believe, it's not subject to the rules of die. Avol birchas Hashem. I'll go to the 3 lines from the top, on page 899. Avol birchas Hashem shehi al pi neis, ein lo gvul, v'lo ye omer lo dai. The principle of dai doesn't apply to lemala miderech hateva. Ki toisef. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much for all your help, everything you do. No, it's fine. It's perfectly fine. Thank you. Ki toisef is selech le'ein kates. It's unlimited. Avul ein zen nisayoy. Now, then he goes on. At this part, I'm a little shaky what he means of that. And then he goes on to explain. He's going back, I guess, what he said before, the differentiation between the word Bechina and Nisayon. You already acknowledge Hashem's existence. The only question over here is the degree of your relationship. By Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not. He's unlimited. Hashem already promised. So now it's just a matter of fulfillment of coming true. So we had this is a very famous Chazal. Aser to Aser. We learned this only a week ago on Shmini Atzeres. You always learn from Aser to Aser and Shmini Atzeres, even if it's not Shabbos. Pesach, the last day of Pesach, you learn Aser to Aser only if it's Shabbos. If it's not Shabbos, you start with Kol HaBachor. So, it says Aser to Aser, and Chazal make a drasha, even though the correct pronunciation is a sin, aser, which means tithe, give 10%, aser ta'aser. The word is repeated twice. L'shoyin b'nei Adam, it's an expression. Dibra tarak l'shoyin b'nei Adam. Aser ta'aser, which we'd like to translate, you shall certainly make sure and see to it that you give your tithes to the poor person. Aser ta'aser. But Chazal make a drasha, and they say, don't read the second word with a sin. Te'aser, read it with as if it was a shin. Put the dot, not on the left, on the right. And then it's aser, which means tithe. Te'asher, ashidus, rich, to be wealthy. Or the real translation of ashirus is ezehu asher, hasoymeach, bechelkoi. Right, you send Rosh Chodesh. Say Rosh Chodesh. Say Rosh Chodesh, all right. What do you say? You say, what kind of nusach is that? I once went to a levaya. No, did I go to this levaya? Maybe not. I don't know. And they said they were masked by a woman. And the woman, one of the things they said was, when Birchas Rosh Chodesh, she couldn't bring herself to say, in Birchas Rosh Chodesh, Chayim Shel Oysher v'chovod. I think she said Oysher. But she couldn't bring herself to say the word covered. She skipped the word covered. She couldn't understand the Nusach HaTzilah. How could you ask Hashem covered? Hashem, please, I'm so desperate that when it comes Thursday, today's Thursday, and the FJJ is delivered at my front door, and I open up, they should show a picture of me being honored by my local shul. Covered, delicious. She couldn't handle that, right? So she omitted the word covered. I don't like that. If Chazal tell you, if this nusach has been, I don't know exactly who wrote the nusach, but if someone composed this nusach, when was it composed? Maybe even 1,000 years ago. Possibly it was composed even.
Thing.
What?
It's not a personal thing. Tell Lanu.
Okay, I'm not okay. That's one answer. Okay, but even if you don't understand what, if this is the Mesorah to say the Nusach, just behave yourself and say the Nusach. Oh, but it's a good Kasha. It's a good Kasha. So, yeah, so if Kalman gives an answer, if Kalman means for Klal Yisrael, Uvechein Tein Kovoid Liamecha, Tehilal Reyecha, the Nusach of the Yamim Nairon. Okay, that's one answer, but there's a better answer. There's a better answer.
But,
yeah.
Say it simply it doesn't mean extraordinary honor, but it means dignity.
Okay, so you're giving another answer. You're giving the answer of Rav Huttner. There's a very famous joke with Rav Huttner. Rav Lazer Eliezer will appreciate the joke, and certainly Rav Nachum Sperling will appreciate the joke. Is there a real kind of limit to understand the depth, the oimek hadron of the joke? And the joke is, if a person, let's say, is homeless, they throw him out of the yard, his mamash is on the street. So he lives in the subway. How long will he live? Mm-hmm. He'll live a long time on the subway. He'll live a long time. But eventually, the elements of nature will catch up with the person. Living on the subway every single day and coming in contact with cold and heat and disease and abuse, it'll catch up with a person and it will shorten a person's life. It's not a good idea to be homeless, living in the streets. It will diminish a person's life expectancy, right? Isn't that a fair thing to say?
Yeah.
So let's say you take away, now take away his home, you take away his clothing, he walks around bare naked. Will that diminish his life expectancy? It certainly will. Cold, heat, disease. Okay, but he'll live a while. He won't die. He won't die today. He'll make it through the day. Let's say you take away food, solid foods. For you, no more solid foods, only liquids. Will it diminish his life expectancy? Certainly will. It'll definitely take away. Okay, then we tell the rest, no drink, no liquids. How long will he live? A week. Okay, how long will he live without it? And no food, no liquids. You took away shelter, took away clothing, took away food, took away liquids. How long will a guy live without giving him food, drink, no place to live? I don't know, whatever it is. He'll live a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is. Okay, next. taking away oxygen. No oxygen. Put a mask. Put a mask that has no room for anything to get in. How long will he live? He said 4 minutes. Okay, Atzala, they have to respond. 4 minutes, critical. Critical person has to have oxygen with him. Cannot lose oxygen for more than 4 minutes. Koch nefesh. 4 minutes. Let's say you take away from person kovod. Rav Hutner speaking. Take away from him kovod. How long can he live? Not even a second. Not even 1 second. Never heard this joke? Not even 1 second. Now, there's a lot of truth to that. Because when we think of COVID, this is the answer. We think, oh, you open up the FJJ. Wow, look at that, my picture. Woo! That's not COVID. That's bizyonis. That's not COVID. COVID is dignity. Just basic dignity. The will to live. Purpose. Purpose, dignity. Poseach es yodecha. Umaspia l'chol chai. You have a purpose. That's called. You have a tachlis. You have a purpose. You know it. You don't know it. You're something that you enjoy about life that you're willing to live to go forward. If you don't have that will to live, that's it. You're gone. And it's very interesting. Older people, younger people, can a younger person just one day walk up, a 40-year-old, wake up one day and decide, you know what? I don't want to live anymore. I'm not going to commit suicide. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm just not going to eat anymore. I'm not going to eat and not going to drink. It's almost impossible. If food is available, I'm not talking about when you're living in a desert island. If there is food available for a young person to make a conscious decision, I am not going to eat and drink. It's almost impossible. But for an older person, a person past a certain age, they can do it. They can just one day wake up in the morning and make a decision, I'm not eating that drink. I know such a person. I know someone in this neighborhood, his mother was an elderly person, healthy, 100% healthy. All of her friends died, and she was, I don't know the details, clinically depressed. I don't know even if she was clinically depressed. I have nothing to live for. And she just decided, I'm not eating it. She made a conscious decision, I'm not going to eat, enough already. And she died. They brought her and she refused to eat, and slowly but surely she just withered away and she died. To make an incredible thing. If a person doesn't have the will to live, then it's over. A person, he needs dignity. So when it says covered, it doesn't mean covered, does not mean make-believe glamour, which is total fraud. It means purpose, dignity, it means something subconscious, acknowledgement you're created, but selim alokim, here for a purpose. Okay, that's one answer. Therefore, you say, oisher v'chovoid, it means, Hashem, give me a purpose in this world. It's a very basic shot. Give me some tafkid in this world. Give me, I shall have a month where I have a purpose to live in this world. I have some self-worth. But there's another shot, which I think is the honest shot, emesim shot. And that is, it says in the Mishnah, Ezehu Oshir Hasoimeach Ezehu Mechubad HaMechabed. Hashem, give me an opportunity this month to give somebody a compliment. How many of you know something nice to say about someone? Very few and far in between. I know someone who works. I know someone who works with goyim, a full person. He works with a real heavy-duty goyim. And when he gives them a simple compliment, they light up like a Hanukkah menorah. Blush and saginar. They, and like, he's totally always shocked. Like, by from people, you know, unfortunately, we don't give people compliments either by the from people. But a little bit more than the goyim. So people, you know, you get a yashiket maliyah, yashikoyah. You say something nice. Yeah, someone invites you to a wedding. You write a card, mazel tov. You write a few nice words. You write something. Goyim, they get nothing. We don't appreciate this. Goyim, no one says a word. The average goyim, nothing. They work hard. Some of them, not all, but some of them, they're, you know, the doctors, lawyers, professionals, they sweat away, make a parnasa, and no one, nothing. They live in a society, and someone says, you know, it's fantastic, you give them some sense of appreciation, they literally, it shakes them up to the core. I have someone, he has a very big company, and he tells me this, it's like, we, Baruch Hashem, in our society, which has plenty of room for improvement, but some of the Goyim, it's like the absence of it's dog eat dog, it's selfishness, and so you should appreciate someone else, it's very, very limited. Ezehu mechubad ha-mechabed. You must follow in Rosh Chodesh Hashem, please give me an opportunity. Give me an opportunity where I'm in a situation where I can actually make a difference to somebody by giving them a compliment. I don't mean nothing. I'm not interested in it. But that's what it means. That's a tremendous bracha. Ezehu asher ha-semeach b'chelko. How many people do you know are happy? How many people are happy? It's a very rare commodity. Someone to be sameach b'chelka. Oisha, money? You want money? Okay, you need money. There's no question. Everyone loves money. Delicious. But there's something deeper than money. It's a zehu oshir hasameach b'chelka. That's what you're being misfiled for in every Rosh Chodesh. Halavai the bracha shebichal. So here we're coming back to our discussion of aser b'shvil shet aser ta aser. There are two sins. The Gemara makes a drasha. The second word ta aser. Do not read it with a sin. Read it as if there is a shin. Aser te asher. Tithe, be rich. Tithe and be rich. How do you get rich by tithing? That's exactly what that's the bracha. Hashem says, if you will give your tithes, I guarantee you will be rich. Where does that come from? How did Chazal have a right to make such a drasha? The pasuk we learned today. The pasuk says, bring the ma'aser to the base of Oitzer, and I promise you, aser, give your maestros b'shvil, not to aser, but to asher. So you should be wealthy. And by the way, we once discussed this many times, it's a major, major machlekes achroinim, maybe even goes back to the Rishonim, I don't remember, about exactly when does this bracha work. Many suggest it only works when you actually give Maiser Rishon and Maiser Sheni and Maiser Oni from the grain. It doesn't refer to giving cash, writing a check out to Yad Eliezer or to your local tzedakah organization. The bracha uvichonuni no bezois imli after lachem arubais hashvav. Because the bracha ad bundai, you have to have grain, you have to have a farm, and you have grain, and you produce. Yeah, you land and you produce grain and you actually deliver the grain to the Kohen and to the Levi and you fulfill the biblical fulfillment of Aser, biblical tithes, Maaser Truma, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni. But we're going and giving Maaser Kisofim, what we call Maaser Kisofim. A person makes a parnasa and after he pays his taxes and he pays tuition and he pays the shul membership dues and he pays for all his expenses, and he has something left over. You know anyone? You know anyone that has something left over after all that? And, oh, I have leftover money? 10%. I'm going to go give Maaser Kisofim. I'm going to give a donation to an organization of my choosing. I'm going to give them 10% of my leftover money. If you're very generous, you can give up to even 20%. Are you now a candidate for this pasuk, uvichonuni no bezois imloy eftach lachem arubas hashmem arikos chambroch ad blidai, many Rishonim say no. No, no such thing. The whole din bechlal of giving ma'aser kisafim is not a deraisa. It's only a minhag. Or is it a mitzvah, drabana? Not necessarily. What is exactly? Oh, ma'aser kisafim. Yeah, they'll advertise in the newspaper. Ma'aser kisafim. Excuse me. Hand it over. Hand over your ma'aser kisafim to us. Who says? Show me chapter and verse in the Torah where I'm mechuyev to give any tzedakah organization 10% of my profits after taxes and all my obligations. We're supposed to go give you 10% of stuff. Tzedakah? Give whatever you give. $1 of stuff. You don't say stuff. You give $1, give $2, give $18. Who says I should go give you 10%? Where does it say that? So it's a big topic. It's a minna. Is it a takana? Some say no, it's a takana. Takana from the Anshek Nes HaGdoila, or maybe from the Goyim, different tukufas in Jewish history. When trace the source. Follow the money. Literally. Follow the money. When did this enactment come into...
Well, it's based on from Yaakov.
These are asmachtes, right?
But it's not a derais.
You can't say it's a derais.
No, but that's what they focus on.
Okay, but no, there was rishis. It was a rishis. That's a different topic. What exactly is going on there? So where does it come from? Not so partial where it comes from. This concept of myself kicks up.
As long as it's not a derisa, you can't be machriya.
Exactly. You can't go, you can't, maybe you can, who says you can't?
Well,
you have a society.
That's not asking that you should get rich.
A Jewish society, a bezin, does have a lot of power. It's not so. If you have a community where there is leadership, and there's a bezin. I mean, these are very complicated issues, but no, a bezin definitely does have very, very far-reaching powers in enforcement and takanas, especially when it comes to giving the moilites. Hefker bezin hefker, and bezin taka says there are starving people, and excuse me, the rich people should support it. That's right. There are such things. Obviously, every society, every generation, every situation is different. How does it apply in the modern day world? Who knows? But where does it come from, this principle of giving 10% of your assets to tzedakah? It's not so simple. And there's a variety of opinions where it comes from. Therefore, being that it's not even a deraisa, can you really say that you're allowed to test Hashem? Hashem, I gave to the UJA, I gave $20,000. I gave more than 10% of my assets for my income this year. Therefore, Hashem, I'm testing you next year this time. I better see my bank account. Bracha ad belida. Comes next year. Hashem, where's the money? I don't see the money. Bracha ad belida. What happened? So whoever told you, you're allowed to, whoever said that you're allowed to go say to Hashem, Hashem, it's a pasuk Malachi. Excuse me, the pasuk Malachi is discussing giving the Kohen the Truma and giving the Levi Maaser Rishon from grain, what grows out of the ground, of wheat and barley and other, maybe other things that are deraisa, and Maaser Sheni, you go to Yerushalayim and go with Maaser Sheni, then you give him the third and the sixth year of the Maaser Ani. That's what the Pasuk is talking about. Don't go and take it upon yourself to go and test Hashem. I gave 10%. I gave 10% to the stock, and look, next year you have nothing left. Therefore, you know what? It goes to show that Judaism, there's something wrong with Judaism.
Rabbi, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Behind this pasuk, is someone allowed to put that on a wedding invitation?
What? Why would you want to do that?
Whatever reason.
It's a pasuk. So it's like every other pasuk. So, what?
I know it happened. A relative of mine, the caller's name was Deborah, and the person's name was Yaakov, and they put it on there because of Deborah, and they died. Big talent and a big good.
Why not? You can do whatever you want. Why can't you? It's a pasuk. So now you have a shiloh. You can throw it in the garbage.
So
you throw in the garbage. So that's a separate topic. So that's another topic. You print psukim. So many people will say you can do it. because it's only temporary, and it's like the newspaper. They have in the newspaper every week. The Jewish. You put on it right. No, you're right. You put on an angle. But look at the newspapers. I'll explain the angles in a second. Look at the newspapers. Every single week, they're in the newspapers, and every Jewish newspaper, there are many, many pages of Divrei Torah, and they have complete psukim from beginning to end. On the table in shul, there are paper loch enough to fill up a box in every shul, and they have complete psukim of Divrei Torah. Where do they go when Shabbos is over? In the garbage. Straight into the garbage. How do you put it in the garbage? The only thing is you put it in the garbage by not b'derech b'zayin. Why? And there are two reasons why. Number one, this has no kedusha because it was not handwritten. It was pressed with a machine. It's like on a computer. Just like on a computer, if you have Hashem's name on a computer, it's not called ksiva. Just because you can see the Shem Hashem, so what? It's stamped with a machine that has no sanctity. Number two, lichatchila, it was meant to be disposed of. So you're asking, here's the question that you saw now. Therefore, the only time that you have to put a sefer in Shemus is basically what the poskim say is if it has a hard cover. Anything that, you see those things, those little booklets now, the flooded flap that goes from Avigdor Miller? Someone's paying a lot of money, so that's stapled. The cover is a little bit harder. It doesn't matter. Those things are still considered to be temporary. Maybe 10 years ago, the standards were not so high. That would have been considered to be a little more permanent. But these things are meant to go in the garbage, even though it has a shtickle hard cover. And sometimes they put out even nicer things. But the point is, if these things are meant only to be temporary, then you can throw it in the garbage. You can mamash put it in the garbage. The only time you're not allowed to put something in the garbage is if the intent of the way it was published was that it should leman yamdu yomim rabim. If the cover is of a certain thickness, which gives it a chashivus, that the average person stands back and says, all right, I'll put it in the bookcase somewhere, over here or there, then already you're not allowed to put it in the garbage.
Just if it's stapled together.
So it's very, today, we're getting into a very complicated situation, because today, Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of money out there. People have money to spend on things like this, and they're putting out, they're publishing things that are really temporary, but they're putting on some very nice covers. They're publishing in a very significant, not just papers, they're putting on hard plastic covers, and they're putting it in shul, people to take, and you look at it, you step back sometimes. You know, this is, I should maybe put this in the bookcase. It's not a, like it's a bencher almost. It's not something which is just, you know, flimsy. If it's flimsy, it can go right into the garbage, no matter what. Even the Shem Hashem. Even though they don't want to tell you this, they'll tell you, they don't want to hear this, even the Shem Hashem. There's no Kedusha. No one wrote L'Shem Kedusha Sashem. It was stamped by a machine, and it was meant to be put in the garbage. The only thing you have to be careful about is don't dispose of it b'derech b'zoyon.
So paper recycling is not the...
No, it's not good. That's the ideal thing to do, is to take all these contrasim and to put them together, put in the plastic bag, and put in the recycle bin. And that is perfectly fine.
But the regular garbage, the paper bag?
The regular garbage, you also can do in the regular bag. You say, good. Listen, 15 years ago, when they started in Brooklyn recycling, got a special can for the cans, for the paper, tie up the boxes, for the garbage, right? You have to be boyer everything. I don't recycle anymore.
Every so often they give out tickets.
They do, once in a while. Baruch Hashem, they haven't given out in a long time. Then Taki, you have to watch that, right? Right, you're right, I got two tickets. Two tickets, each one for 20 years, they come with sticks. They come out with sticks, they go look through, and they give, because they want my money. So it's just the money. $25 tickets. I got two of them already. It's been before COVID. Before COVID, Baruch Hashem, since COVID, I've been able. I call Heilich Elmer. I don't have patience for this. What do you think? I have a whole day to go through the garbage. What kind of crazy thing is this? All right, that's not so crazy, but whatever it is. But the point is, you're right. You can throw it in the real garbage also. You can throw it in the real garbage, but don't throw it out of the Derech Mizayim. If you want to go throw out the Sheamus, the paper lach and shul, you just put it in the bag and wrap it up nicely so it shouldn't be exposed, and you can put it in the garbage. It has no kedusha. has no clue to the newspapers and the things they hand out in shul, which are meant to be temporary. It is permitted. 100% is permitted. That's the halacha.
Truck is going to go out of business.
No, the Seamus truck. No. The Seamus truck is there is the anything that is a sefer you cannot put in. You cannot put in the garbage.
People are bringing box loads of this type.
Oh, this type is not necessary. But on the other hand, things like children. The children come home from school and they have handwritten things that you can't throw in the garbage. Handwritten. Anything that is handwritten cannot go in the garbage.
Even without Shema.
Anything that's Torah. Anything that is handwritten. You have handwritten notes. What?
Send it back to the school.
How old is the kid?
No, it has Kedusha. Why not Kedusha? The Adarabba, their Torah has more Kedusha than our Torah. The Hevel Tinoika Shul Beis Rabban is Kodesh Kedoshim. There's no ulterior motives. There's no covet. There's no nothing. It's L'shem Shemayim. The world is built on the Hevel Tineka Shol Beis Rabban. When a child writes down Shema Yisrael Shem HaKadosh Shem HaKadosh, there's a lot more Kedusha than when you don't write down Shema Yisrael Shem HaKadosh. That's a different halacha that he can't do L'shema. He can't L'shem Yisrael Shem HaKadosh. But it doesn't mean there's no Kedusha. Anything that is handwritten is a problem. Anything that is handwritten cannot go in the garbage. Anything that is printed by a machine. A machine comes out of your copy machine, out of your printer, or on the screen, has no Kedusha. Oh, so years ago, it was a novelty. Years ago, 20, 30 years ago, wow, they put on the table a Kedusha Torah, they printed out, what a novelty. No, it was a novelty, big deal. So you go collect the box. I think after 2 years, you have one box, so you go put it in Seamus. Today, you're going to do that, it's impossible to live. It's impossible to live. The amount of stuff, like I know, I assure you, everyone there, the Shabbos of Rai Davin, everyone together cleans up the shul. Very nice. You take all the tablecloths, throw the tablecloths, put away the slum, and collect all the table. Every Mitzvah Shabbos, we have a stack like this. Every Mitzvah Shabbos. Where does it go? It goes right into the garbage.
They clean up on Friday, they don't want you to read during the rabbi's speech.
Whatever it is. But every what the amount of papers that we have now one Mitzvah Shabbos is equal to the amount of papers 25 years ago, a whole year, even more, maybe even 2 years worth. Every Mitzvah Shabbos has a stack like this.
If a kid brings home stuff after school,
no, kid brings
a
home.
Kid double bagging.
A kid who writes something down. Anyone who writes in your own hand, your own pen, ink. Remember the old days? They had pens and paper. They had real stuff. That has Kedusha. That has Kedusha. It's Torah. You can't throw it in the garbage. That has to be disposed of Derech Kavod. And that's Seamus. That is Seamus and has to be put in Seamus. And the truth is, I know, if you follow, there was once one of these art magazines, whether it was Amishpach, Ami, it was a really fantastic investigation of where does the Seamus go.
Yeah.
This was a major scandal, and they basically, what happens, they follow someone, it's very simple, you just follow the Seamus truck. follow the money, so they take the garbage, you know how far they go all the way upstate to a landfill, and if they would do it right, it basically goes in the same pit as all the garbage, of all the garbage from the city. The only difference is, if they do it, they dig these massive, massive pits. They have people, I wouldn't went there to go check it out. They follow the garbage trucks.
Very big rain once following. It all came up, and that was what caused the problem.
They dump the garbage, and they know they compress it, and then they make an arrangement with the landfill, and they put down a rubber liner, and then they dump all the Seamus, not with their cover, they just throw, it's disgusting. They just throw all the stuff there, and on top of that, if you're really lucky, they put another liner, and then on top of that, it goes all the garbage. So the Seamus just sandwiched, you have mounds and mounds and mounds and mounds of garbage, and the Seamus is somewhere in the middle, with a liner underneath and a liner on top. I don't think the people who give the people on Avenue J and Avenue M $10 a box would imagine that when you're paying someone $10, your box is going to be in a landfill upstate New York with all the schmutz from all over New York City, with every single person's bathroom schmutz.
That's illegal.
What?
That's illegal dump. Because it has to be able to decompose. So if the landfill is allowing them to do that, that's illegal.
With the rubber?
With the rubber.
With the rubber?
Illegal.
this is what the investigation. This is what
they
what's in the garbage itself? The garbage itself, all the garbage is not going to decompose. The garbage itself, what's in the garbage mix?
That's why we have now, what's in the park, on the Gulf Parkway.
The garbage, what I throw out, I throw in the garbage. If I go and I clean up my basement, and I put in the garbage, I put stuff in that's not going to decompose. And I'm not telling you what's illegal. People put in, they throw, but putting paint is yeah. You put paint in the garbage, woo, you're finished. They catch you. Put asbestos, you go to jail. Yeah. Okay, people, they take off, they do what? I once, the guy, we had asbestos, so I paid a fortune to get rid of the asbestos. So the guy, he says, you know, I said, I interview different people, how they get rid of it. So one guy says, you know, I do a little at a time.
That's why he gave you a good price.
Good, no, I got rid of him, I didn't take him. I took someone else. I want to turn off the recording over here. But the end was, I did part of it. I did it with two people. One guy was just ripped me off big time, and the second one basically said to me, "We're not going to do it totally legal, but what I'm doing is good." He shows me he does all over the city. He has all the bags with the real, you know, the real hazard bags, the ganze mice, and it comes with the whole hazmat thing, and he takes it to a special landfill with a miyuchid for this. The only thing is, he's not filing with the city. Because if he files with the city, they would charge me $10,000 for the permit. So he says, we do it quietly, you don't have to pay the permit, but where does it go? He shows me exactly where it goes, the bags it goes, and he shows me references, and he takes it in the truck, straight to the landfill upstate, to this is the mukhaim where it goes. So it shouldn't be responsible for putting in the garbage poison.
You know another illegal thing that we do in certain places, it is illegal to put the shamus in with a nifter into the
center. That's right, it's illegal. It's illegal.
A box that can...
It's illegal, right. But they do it anyway, sometimes. You don't really... I never saw this. I never saw them do this. Put boxes by cemeteries. Right, I know, you're right, you're not allowed to do it, but they do it anyway. But you don't see it anymore.
Funeral homes,
you don't see this. I never saw this. He does.
From the other cemetery, there's a big belly. You can't put anything else in.
It's illegal, but they do it anyway.
Of course
they do. They do whatever they want. But today, after the scandal, supposedly, they have now. People are gotten involved upstate. Yeah, it's a good business. Upstate, it's very good. They take boys. They're boys, and they really do. They show the pictures. I hope they're still doing it. The Derech Kavod, they bought a massive piece of land upstate, and dedicated miyuchad for Sheamus, like a graveyard for Sheamus. And they dig very, very deep, and they mesader it. The Derech Kavod, they mesader it. The boys arrange. And they put everything there. The derech kavod is a big avoda. All right, Rabbi, so let's go further over here. Okay, now let's finish all this over here. Amr Chazal. Let's read this verse with aser b'shvil shetis aser. So I told you this whole idea. This does not necessarily apply bizman hazeh. No one has a right bizman hazeh to get all worked up and say, you know, I gave away 20% of my assets to tzedakah, and I just don't see the bracha ad belidai. Excuse me, that's not what the pasuk is. Bracha that we talk about ad belidai. Don't hold Hashem hostage to bracha ad belidai. Especially, that's not what the ikar hadin is. The ikar hadin refers to truma and maaser. If it's not truma and maaser deoraisa, then the pasuk doesn't apply. You want to go and say that it should apply to giving cash. If I give cash. And you also should say, you're making things up. You can't go complain and say, I gave 20% of my assets to tzedakah. How come I didn't see the bracha of Arikos Lebracha Ad Belidai? That doesn't apply to cash. It applies only to Truma Meiser. Giving 10% of your assets, Meiser Kisofin, what we call giving Meiser, is a beautiful, beautiful thing that a person should do. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Is it a biblical requirement? Not necessarily. Is it a rabbinic requirement? Some say yes, some say no. Some say it's a takana, and some say it's a minhag. It's only a minhag custom. So you can't go hold Hashem hostage. And secondly, this is the real nasty question. Excuse me, you gave away 20% of your assets to tzedakah. How did you earn that money? How did you earn that money? Did you was it legal? What everything that you did to earn that money? You cleaned up asbestos from people's homes, and they paid you thousands of dollars. And did you file with the government? Did you do it the way you're supposed to do it? Okay, did you pay your tax on it? Was it cash? Excuse me, how did you earn that money? If you earn that money in a way that's not 100% kosher v'yosher, you are not even a candidate for v'hari koysi l'chem b'rocha ad b'lidah. We're talking over here real good, honest, clean money. When you're dealing with real, clean, honest money, that's when the bracha applies. If you're dealing with money that you've earned in questionable ways, that is.
But theoretically, you didn't even get maaser because it really wasn't even your
exactly.
Money.
It was gezel. You get your money. That's it's a gray area. A lot of things that people do today, unfortunately, it's frightening. Okay, it's
but
frightening.
There's no totally clean money in this world.
I agree with you 100%. Look now on the tax return this year's tax return. So the question, was, did you own? I'm sure you saw the questions. Do you own? And I do it online. We're not online with the program. H&R Block. Never. Do you own or have engaged in any cryptocurrency transactions this year? They want to know. They want to know the answer to that question. And so that's a tough question. What's in your business? What's in your business, right? What's going on over here? So we're dealing over here, you know, so let's say, Taka, in China, the cryptocurrency is illegal, totally illegal. In America, they made an announcement, the government made an announcement yesterday that says that by us, it's still, don't worry, we're not yet like China. We're not, money is a very dangerous commodity. And when you're giving tzedakah, the Torah demands, it has to be honest. It is categorically forbidden to not pay your tax, 100% honestly. Go to a store and they say to you, if you pay cash, there's no tax. That is 100% osur keneged kol ha-Torah kula, for everyone.
But if you own the business,
he's
including the tax inside of price.
They're not allowed to do that.
He's got to suffer.
They're not allowed to do that. They're not allowed to do that. And if you're paying cash, believe me, they're not important. No way. It is keneged kol ha-Torah kula. It is awesome. You ask a rav the shayla, and the rav tells you, it's not a rabbi. It is if you go into a store and they say to you in the store, if you pay cash, there's no tax. It's a chil Hashem. You don't have to have the IRS watching you. It's also. It's plain partial also.
I would think it's the believer to the store owner. But it's a store owner who has to submit the tax.
But you're a participant. You're also not paying the tax. You're also stealing.
I'm paying the price that this guy wants for this item. He wants to include the
He's
tax
telling you right away. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I don't know. It's not a simple matter. It's not. I remember my father. My mother used to always listen to my father. My father would say, it is usher. Pay with
is
a credit card.
Is there something wrong with the sound? Because
you're having trouble with the sound? What, it's going in and out?
Well, it's almost out.
Right now, do you hear me? Right now, this moment. How is it now?
It's
you can't hear me?
Extremely faint.
Okay, let me ask other people. Let me ask Phil, Dr. Friedman. It's okay. He's okay. LaBlaze, how do you on your end? It sound? He says it's very good. Rabbi Chol, it could be. Do you have another app running on your phone? Reboot your phone. I've had the same problem on my phone. If you have other apps that are working in the background.
So I'm going to reboot.
Reboot the phone.
Yeah, no issues there.
Okay. Reboot the phone. I have the same issue.
I'm getting it's fine. I don't have a problem.
Okay, Ramachal, just reboot. Reboot. That's the solution. That's what you do. You go. Get a PhD in computers, and you work in industry. What do you do? Can you imagine you spend college 4 years, you get a PhD another 4 years, you get a postdoctorate in computers, and you get a job in industry. What do you do the whole day? They call you up. Reboot. Reboot. That's all you have to know in IT. Reboot. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Adkan, Hakafa Base. After the break, I want to talk about... talk about Meir's favorite topic. I know Meir likes this topic. Reach. Vayorach Hashem es Reach Anichoyach. Fragrance. Fragrances in Halacha. And then if we have time, I want to talk about Yayin, Alachayim, the laws of Alachayim. This week's parasha, we have all the inyanim of wine. Noach made Alachayim and got into a lot of trouble.
You want to dispose of it?
Yeah. You just put it in the garbage. You wrap it, you don't put it in chains. You wrap it in a bit of color. Well, I take the back of it. Talis Gadol. Talis Katan. Talis Gadol. Let me look it up. I'm not sure. Talis Gadol, people are more machmir. Because it's called a Talis Shalitza. Talis Katan is a similar object. Talis Gadol is a Talis Shalitza. So I think we'll put in shames. It's not an Ikra Hadin. But
I don't know about the silver thing.
The silver that take that off.
Atara.
Take that off. It's real silver.
This I can take.
Take it. Sure. Take
it. I don't have to. It's not a mitzvah.
No, I don't have to take it off. But it's nice. It's sentimental. It's probably worth a lot of money. Worth a lot of money.
I never use it. I had it and I never used it. It's too much. It's heavy.
It's heavy enough for Shachazan also. For a chazan, it's very sweat, it's very heavy.
I know, it's so
very hard. You don't see chazanim with an atar. You don't see. You can't, it's not possible. The sweat over your head, it's impossible.
I saw already at the watch here.
Right in the back. They put this in the chassidim do that.
Yeah.
The chassidim. Yeah. And also on the song.
Somebody says the separate between.
Yeah, they do that. That's very popular by chassidim. An atar in the center.
It's supposed to be for the Lebedis, but you only put three lines in the middle.
See, the Litvaks, this is a Litva, a tar is a Litva shagarta. It's between the head and the leg. I see the Mimah doing the Ervan and the leg.
I remember once on Artling Letter, they had a guy who they went, people up 20, they had the show at night, Saturday night. So they had.